Hello friends, welcome to V Lectures on Banking Fundamentals. Up till now we have covered three chapters on banking fundamentals, each one of them having its own importance. The first chapter was on history of banking. In history of banking, we came to know that banking as we see today was existing since the ancient times, but may not be in the same form as it exists today. Any student of modern banking has to know how banking evolved from the ancient times till the modern times. And that's how we started with the basic meaning of what banking means, how the word bank originated. And then we saw the simple form of banking that existed since the Vedic period till the invasions done by various foreign powers in our country and the banking that exists today post-independence. In the second chapter, we saw how the growth of banking business took place in our country. If we could trace the existence of banking before independence, we saw banking mainly was conducted through the indigenous moneylenders. And when we talk about moneylenders, they had their own ways of doing banking. They had their own ways of charging interest on the money borrowed by their borrowers. Even they had their own ways of paying interest on the depositors. Once we understood the pros and cons of the indigenous banking, then we tried to understand what type of banking existed just after the entry of Britishers. The Britishers, for their own convenience, established the presidency banks at three different regions: Kolkata, Mumbai and Madras, what we call today as Chennai. And as the Britishers could spread their wings across the country, they established something called presidency banks. By merging all the three banks, they established in the 17th century. After presidency banks, they established the Imperial Bank of India, which was then considered as the largest commercial bank. And after Imperial Bank of India, that was established somewhere in the 19th century, we got independence, and post-independence, the Indian government made the banking structure that suited our Indian environment. We had a lot of private banks existing in post-independence period, but they were not taking care of the social interests of our country, and hence government had to change this private sector banks into government banks by nationalizing 14 banks in 1969 and further 6 banks in 1980. The nationalization of banks totally changed the concept of banking from banking for the elite to the banking for the masses. But the major aspect of efficiency and effectiveness was not taken care, because there were very few people to provide the banking services and there were masses who required the banking services. And hence the need was felt for improving the efficiency, bringing in competition within the bankers, and hence the new generation private sector banks took birth in the 1990s. The new generation private sector banks brought in new technology, they brought in efficiency, they provided 24/7 banking for all the people anywhere and anytime. The success of these few 8 to 9 new generation private sector banks in the 1990s paved the way for more private sector banks in 2003, in 2013, and now RBI has also given licenses for payment banks and small banks. So we should expect 21 more payment banks and small banks to come up within a few months. So friends, this is the entire banking structure we understood in our second chapter. But banking cannot exist without regulations, and hence a need was felt that a strong banking regulation should exist. Only then the entire money business could be controlled effectively. And hence in 1949, the Banking Regulation Act was enacted, and this is what we studied in our entire chapter, that is chapter number 3. Banking Regulation Act provided various guidelines, it provided various requirements, it provided various restrictions, it provided various standard practices, supervision norms, protection for depositors, and various provisions were put into this act by which whoever are related with banking will not misuse their power or abuse their power and put the interest of the public into a bad shape. So Banking Regulation Act provided a basis on which the entire banking industry could run. It clearly specified what type of activities can be undertaken by a banking activity, what type of activities cannot be taken by a banking activity. But even though there is an act, even though there are rules and regulations, there has to be a central monitoring authority. When we say central, it has to take care about the entire banking industry, pan India, across the country, and that is where a need for a central regulator is felt. And this need for central regulator was actually taken shape in the form of Reserve Bank of India. And that is what we are going to study in this chapter. Chapter number 4 will talk everything about Reserve Bank of India. We will also see why Reserve Bank of India is called as the central bank. For that, we need to understand the meaning of the word central bank. And when we say central bank, it is not just a word that has been created in our country, but the central banking term is applicable across the globe. Every country across the globe has a central bank, and hence it is essential to understand, to correlate the word central bank with the Reserve Bank of India. And with this, we will also study the structure of Reserve Bank of India. We will study the various functions of Reserve Bank of India, and we will study the role of Reserve Bank of India for running this banking industry. So friends, let's begin up with this chapter number 4 on Reserve Bank of India. Let us first understand, is there a need of a central bank? When we say a country has an economy, and an economy is run by its lifeblood, that is finance. So financial matters are very important for any nation, and hence the presence of a regulator or a controller is essential to balance the economy from the burdens like inflation, deflation, crisis, etc., etc. A central bank is an institution, whereas central banking refers to a special group of power to control the total stock of money in a country. Please understand the difference between a central bank and central banking. Central bank is an institution like RBI, Reserve Bank of India, we say. But central banking refers to the type of banking done by a central bank, and it specifically manifests the powers to control the total stock of money in a country. If we are convinced that there is a need for a central bank to control the financial activities in our country so that economy will function smoothly. We have to go more deeper into the understanding of a central bank. We have to understand what are the objectives of a central bank. For this, we can segregate the objectives into two types, that the traditional objectives and broader objectives. When we use the word traditional objectives, we will have to enter into the era of post-World War I. In the post-World War I scenario, central banks had a very narrow and restricted objectives. Their basic aim was simply regulations. The regulations were provided for monetary circulation so that the purpose of securing a stable gold value of the currency could be maintained. But after World War I and World War II, lot of efforts were put in for developing economies, and that's where the objectives of the central bank also needed to be changed. And we had to change from a narrow and restricted objective to a broader objective. Especially after the Great Depression, the central banks broadened their objectives by including regulation of the money market. Money market plays a very important role in circulation of money. It involves all the financial system entities for circulation of money. And hence, the regulations were applicable to the money market. The second major objective we have to consider in the broader objective is promotion of best interest of economic life of the community. When we say best interest of the economic life of community, the biggest and the most important requirement was to control the inflation. And we talk about inflation, the next immediate priority is to control the cost of deposit. That is both the interest that will be paid to the depositors as well as the interest to be charged from the borrowers. And to decide about this, various monetary instruments of charging interest, of keeping reserves, monetary policy also became a part of a broader objective of a central bank. And considering the importance of growth of economy, RBI or the central bank also played a very important role in maintenance of full employment as well as economic stability. Now let us understand how this word central bank, or how the central bank was developed over a period of time. When we talk about central banking, there was no such word if we trace the evolution of banking. Banking activity was done as per the whims and fancies of those banking institutions. Even printing of notes and mints were done as per the requirements of individual banking companies. And when it came to the question of liquidity, when it came to the question of encashing such financial instruments, we have seen various banks have failed to do so. And when banks fail, the interest of the depositors is seriously compromised. And that's where a thought emerged amongst various economies that as far as the issuance, as far as the control of money aspect is concerned, it has to be taken away from individual and it needs to be controlled by a central authority. And when we say authority, this authority will not be involved in day-to-day business activities so that there won't be a conflict of interest in making any regulations in controlling the banking activity. And That is how this central banking concept emerged, and hence we say the central banking as we see today is not the result of an overnight development, but it is the result of a long process of gradual evolution. When we say central banking concept is a result of long process of a gradual evolution, we need to pinpoint an exact period when this concept originated. We can very clearly say that the concept of central banking was established to perform central banking functions during the 20th century. When we say 20th century, both the world wars were over, all economies were engaged in building their economies with growth as the only objective. And hence, for growth, a solid banking system, when we say solid, it means safe, it means taking the interest of the economy, and that's where many countries felt the need of establishing a central authority in the form of central bank. Prior to this concept, these activities were performed by ordinary commercial bank, and they enjoyed right of note issue and the position as the government banker and agent, and that's where lots of conflict of interest could happen and the banking system could fail. And that's the reason now the thought was starting to emerge amongst various economies, various growing economies in the world, to introduce something called central bank. Now, before we go or dive deeper into the meaning of a central bank, let us understand very clearly what is the difference between a central bank and a commercial bank. When we talk about commercial banks, their primary objective is to make profit. They will take deposits at a lower interest, give loans at a higher interest, and what is the spread that becomes their income. And they will strive to take deposits at much lower rate of interest as possible. That is where the modern concept of CASA, mobilizing savings and current account, is becoming very popular. And they will try to give loans at higher interest as possible. Specifically, what we see, loans which are personal loans, loans against credit cards, where the interest rate can be as high as 40%. And that's the reason they exist, purely for making a profit. Whereas if we see, why does a central bank exist? Central bank has no direct motive of making a profit. They basically think how the banking operations could be made more effective, and how banking operations can be instrumental in making the economy grow. And hence, they think on the effects of operations on the working of the economic system. A central bank primary objective is not profit, but central bank controls and directs other banking institutions and renders services to them. Because in case of a need, in case of distress, there has to be a central authority to become a friend, philosopher and guide. And that's where the role of a central bank comes in. It controls and directs other banking institutions and renders services to them. A central bank does not carry on any commercial banking business, and it does not even deal directly with general public. If anyone has to open a saving account, he cannot go to central bank. He cannot go to Reserve Bank of India to open, because Reserve Bank of India is not involved in commercial banking. You have to go to a commercial bank, which can be a public sector bank, which can be a private sector bank, which can be a cooperative bank, or which can be even a foreign bank. Friends, for discussing chapter on Reserve Bank of India. I request you to go to RBI website. Most important facts and figures can be gathered from RBI website. I try to do so in this chapter for your sake. Now let us understand why Reserve Bank of India, that is RBI, is called a central bank. When we say central bank, we have another way of saying it. We say Reserve Bank of India is the apex body of the Indian financial system. When we say Indian financial system, anything that relates with money, anything that relates with circulation of money, Reserve Bank of India will be involved into monitoring, control, supervision, best practices, etc., etc., etc. The Reserve Bank of India operates as a central banking system and controls the entire monetary policy of India. And because Reserve Bank of India is a central monetary institution that regulates the supply of money, availability of money and cost of money in the interest of the general public. This is very important. In the interest of the general public, Reserve Bank of India is called the central bank of our country. Reserve Bank of India is the fiscal agent of the national government. Because government cannot participate in day-to-day activities of money supply, availability and cost, it has to have some authority onto which it delegates its power. And these powers are delegated again through a law which is called as Banking Regulation Act 1949. And hence Reserve Bank of India is also considered as a fiscal agent of the national government and manages the monetary system of our country. Friends, having understood the importance of a central bank, having understood that Reserve Bank of India is the central bank of our country, now let us try to trace the history of Reserve Bank of India. In the evolution of banking, in the growth of banking, especially before independence, we saw the Britishers had introduced banking that suits their administration. But even then, the type of banking system they had introduced, they found it was inadequate because their controls, their access, their expansion was increasing, and that's the reason they always wanted to upgrade their banking system. And hence they appointed various committees to study how can the banking system be improved, especially to suit their administrative purpose. And various committees were established, and amongst them the emergence of RBI is said to be as a result of recommendations of the Royal Commission on Indian Currency and Finance, which is also popularly known as the Hilton Young Commission. So this Hilton Young Commission brought out important recommendations for establishing a central banking authority like Reserve Bank of India. But even then, this report, which was submitted in 1926, the exact structure and nature of RBI was not coming up very clearly. And it took as many as 9 years. Friends, please note, as much as 9 years, because after the submission of the Hilton Young Commission report in 1926, RBI was established in the year 1935. And when it got established, major aspirations of the Britishers came through for controlling the entire monetary system of our country. If we want to be exactly specific on the dates, before establishing Reserve Bank of India on 1st of April 1935, a law was to be enacted, and this law was in the form of Reserve Bank of India Act 1934. The Reserve Bank of India Act 1934 paved the way of establishing Reserve Bank of India as a central banking authority in our country with effect from 1st of April 1935. RBI was established as a shareholding or a shareholders company. It had private ownership, and its share capital, the initial share capital which it started, was rupees 5 crores. The central office of Reserve Bank of India, which we now see in Mumbai, it was established in Calcutta. Now we call it as Kolkata. And it was moved permanently to Mumbai in the year 1937. So this is just for your academic interest. Reserve Bank of India took over the functions of the currency issue, which was done solely by Government of India, and the power of credit control from the then Imperial Bank of India. We had seen the presidency banks were converted into Imperial Bank of India, and Imperial Bank of India was acting as a quasi government body, and one of the quasi government functions was to control the credit. And since they wanted one central authority, all this government and administrative functions came under the control of one central banking unit, that is Reserve Bank of India. And Imperial Bank of India or any other commercial bank solely existed for commercial banking purpose. Now, RBI was established in 1935. We got our independence in 1947, but as I had said, RBI was established specifically under Britishers, which suited their more own administrative reasons. And it was very much important, it was imperative to see that a central banking unit or the Central Bank of India acts as per the requirements of our country, acts in the interest of our citizens. And hence, the first step taken by the government after independence was to nationalize Reserve Bank of India. The entire paid up capital of rupees 5 crores was taken over by Government of India, and now we can say RBI as of today is fully owned by Government of India, because the entire paid up capital is through the government. RBI was nationalized on the basis of the Reserve Bank of India Transfer of Public Ownership Act 1948 with effect from 1st of January 1949. What were the reasons for nationalization? There are various reasons for nationalization. Let us see one by one. Post World War II, a trend towards nationalization of central banking was shaping all over the world. As I had referred, major economies were devastated. Lots of efforts were required to revitalize the economy and to revitalize, rejuvenate the economy can be done only by finance. And hence, it was required, it was felt necessary that a strong banking system only can do it. And to have a strong banking system, there was a requirement of a central bank which will work as per the government aspirations in the interest of the public. And as the first major step which could be as a encouragement, which could be as an inspiration for all the other economies of the world. Bank of England was nationalized in 1946. And when some major bank gets nationalized, the repercussion is felt across the world. And that was one of the reasons of seeding a thought of nationalization with the happening of an event, that is, Bank of England was nationalized in 1946. A centrally administered system had become necessary to control the runaway inflation. Because when we see in scenario post-independence, lots of socio-economic problems were existing. There were not sufficient industries to give employment. The prices of the most essential commodities were very high. And for controlling all this, a centrally administered system was felt necessary. And that was another reason of bringing a central banking system, bringing a central authority which will take care of controlling all these socio-economic problems. India had to embark upon a program of economic development and growth. We implemented various 5 years plans for this purpose. But to make this dream of economic development growth, the government felt during that period a very important need of control over the banking activities. So this was another reason for nationalization of the Reserve Bank of India. And finally, as any government will think, any progressive government will think, the then government of India wanted to use Reserve Bank of India as its tool to bring about the economic change in the country. And when we say an institution like Central Bank of India came under the control of government of India, the central banking unit also requires certain norms, certain provisions to remain guided. And this activity or this requirement was fulfilled by enactment of Banking Regulation Act in the very same year, that is 1949, in which Reserve Bank of India was nationalized. Banking Regulation Act 1949 also mandated a comprehensive and formal structure of banking regulation and supervision in India. So, friends, these two activities brought about a very big change in the banking industry in the very same year after independence, that is in the year 1949. On one side, the Banking Regulation Act 1949 was enacted to provide various norms, provisions, guidelines, best practices, restrictions, to do, not to do activities. And on the other hand, there has to be some controller, so that controller should act in the interest of the government. And that's how Reserve Bank of India, which was typically a private shareholders bank, was converted into a government bank by nationalizing in the year 1949. When we talk about Reserve Bank of India, it has also made its preamble as broad as possible. From the day it had enacted or it was established in the year 1935. If we see the preamble of today RBI, the preamble says to regulate the issue of banknotes. So the primary responsibility of Reserve Bank of India is to regulate the issuance of banknote. And when we say issuance of banknote, it is responsible for bringing in fresh notes into the financial system, to remove the soiled and mutilated notes from the financial system, and most importantly, to maintain the required number of currency notes in circulation for the growth and development of the economy. So that is the first important function mentioned in the preamble of Reserve Bank of India, that is to regulate the issue of banknotes. That's not all. Along with regulation of issuance of banknotes, its function is also to keep reserves. When we talk about reserves, this plays a very important part or a very important role in the exchange rates. Our rupee in comparison with foreign currency is specifically on the basis of reserves we maintain, on the basis of liquidity of our currency. And when we have a proper circulation of banknotes, when we keep adequate reserves, that plays a very important role in securing the monetary stability in India and the growth of banking industry in our country. So the first part of the preamble specifically takes care about the growth of banking industry to regulate the issue of banknotes and keeping the reserves with a view to securing the monetary stability in India, and it further expands its function. It is not just issue of banknotes, but generally to operate the currency and the credit system of the country to its advantage. No bank will have its own way of diverting money as per its profitable motives. The money has to flow across the economy, and that's where the control on the credit comes, the control and monitoring of credit comes, and this also is one of the important activity mentioned in the preamble of RBI to operate the currency and credit system of the country to its advantage, so that whatever credit sanctioned by the banks to the borrowers will be for productive purpose. The credit that is seeded into the economy will grow progress, only then the function of RBI would be fulfilled. The function of central bank of our country will be fulfilled. So this is a very, very beautiful preamble of RBI, which takes care of the entire interest of our economy. Now let us understand, how does RBI work? Who are the people behind the working of Reserve Bank of India as a central bank? And like any company whose entire powers are vested in its board, Reserve Bank of India also has a central board. Friends, we have to understand, this is a very powerful body, and whatever decisions that are made by RBI happen through this central board. And hence we should understand who are the people who comprise the central board. Reserve Bank's affairs are governed by a central board of directors. And who appoints these directors? None other but Government of India. These directors are appointed or nominated, because all directors are not appointed. Some of them are nominee directors. And whether they are appointed or nominated, this is done by Government of India, and the term granted for these directors is generally 4 years. If we have to generalize or summarize the functions of this central board, we can say the functions of the central board of the Reserve Bank of India is general superintendence and direction of the bank's affairs. So on one side, it needs to give the directions. On the other side, it is also responsible for supervising the banking affairs. Now let us understand the constitution of the central board of Reserve Bank of India. If we have to go by the pyramid, At the topmost level, we have the governor. And a governor of Reserve Bank of India is also considered as official directors and is appointed on a full-time basis. To assist governor, there can be 4 deputy governors having various delegated responsibilities. So official directors of Reserve Bank of India are full-time directors and they comprise of governor and not more than 4 deputy governors. When we say official directors, there can also be non-official directors. And who are they? The non-official directors are basically directors who are nominated by the government. And these nominated directors can be 10 from various fields. So that Reserve Bank of India is equipped with the knowledge of various streams of our economy. Various experts, renowned experts, can be nominated by government so that their expertise can be made use of by the central board for the benefits of banking industry. And over and above 10 directors which are nominated by the government, government can also have 2 of its officials participating in the central board. So, over and above the official directors, that is governor and not more than 4 deputy governors, we have non-official directors in the form of 10 directors nominated by government, 2 government officials. We also have 4 directors, 1 each from the local boards, east, west, north and south. We'll see more about this in the next slide. Now let us first understand who this governor of Reserve Bank of India is. The governor of Reserve Bank of India is the chief executive of India's central bank as well as ex officio chairperson of its central board of directors. The power to appoint a governor is granted solely to the central government under Section 8 of Reserve Bank of India Act 1934. None other but Government of India only can appoint a governor of Reserve Bank of India. Most of you must have noticed the rupee, any rupee other than 1 rupee, we use for buying or selling has the signature of Reserve Bank of India governor. Only then the rupee is considered to be authentic and valid. So all Indian rupees except rupees 1 note has the signature of governor of Reserve Bank of India. Since its establishment in 1935 by the British colonial government, the Reserve Bank of India has been headed by 23 governors. The first governor of Reserve Bank of India was a Britisher named as Sir Osborne Smith. Sir Osborne Smith became the first governor of Reserve Bank of India in 1935. After independence, just as the Britishers left our country, we appointed our governors on such important monetary and regulatory bodies of our country, and that is how we have our own Indian governor, and the first Indian governor of Reserve Bank of India is Mr. Chintamani Dwarkanath Deshmukh, popularly known as C.D. Deshmukh. So Mr. Chintamani Dwarkanath Deshmukh is the first governor of India, of India's Reserve Bank of India after independence. Who is the current governor of Reserve Bank of India? The current governor of Reserve Bank of India is again a very intellectual and respected authority, that is Dr. Raghuram Govind Rajan. Dr. Raghuram Govind Rajan is currently serving as 23rd governor of Reserve Bank of India. So after Sir Oswald Smith in 1935 till today, Reserve Bank of India has seen 23 governors. Dr. Raghuram Rajan took over as governor of Reserve Bank of India from 4th of September 2013. And one interesting fact you would like to know about Dr. Rajan is that prior to he taking over as governor of Reserve Bank of India, he had already held important positions relating to finance, for example, as the chief economic advisor, Ministry of Finance, Government of India, the Eric J. Glitcher Distinguished Service Professor of Finance at the University of Chicago, that is a Booth School, and also as a chief economist and the director of the research at the highly reputed international body, that is the International Monetary Fund. Besides this, Dr. Rajan also has various other exposure in finance, and we are very lucky to have him as our governor, that is governor of Reserve Bank of India. Rajan's claim to fame is his prediction of the 2008 global financial crisis, when the leading experts, economists were having one view about the crisis or about the economic affairs of the global economic affairs. Mr. Rajan was very bold enough to make his own representations, opinions in his paper titled "Has Financial Development Made the World Riskier?" He was the first person who gave a trigger of this 2008 global financial crisis, which was not even known to others. In his paper, he had said, "But perhaps the most important concern is whether the bank will be able to provide liquidity to financial markets so that if the tail risk does materialize." This statement was made by him in 2005, and in 2008 the world saw the global financial crisis. When he made this opinion in his paper, the world did not take him seriously. He was considered, or his paper was considered, to be negative. But when the reality happened in 2008 global financial crisis, Dr. Rajan shot to fame. His words, which he made in 2005, came through, and that is what is the foresight of this gentleman. So friends, having understood the central board and the person who tops the central board and the constitution of the central board, let us have an entire organization structure of Reserve Bank of India. If we want to further break down the central board of directors, if we want to go purely by the hierarchy, we can say, to help the governor, we have four deputy governors, followed by executive directors, followed by principal chief general managers, followed by chief general managers in charge, then chief general managers, then general managers, then deputy general managers, then assistant general managers, then managers, assistant managers, and finally the support staff. All this, other than the top executives, have to go through a proper recruitment process. a proper promotion process. Nobody can be planted. All those who deserve get a chance to enter into this hierarchy. As we have seen in the constitution of the board, there are four directors which represent the local boards. And when we talk about local boards, the country has been divided into four areas, that is southern, western, northern and eastern. And each of this zone is managed by a local board. The requirement of local board is whatever administrative clearances, whatever directions that need not come all the way to Mumbai. The Mumbai board will unnecessarily get saturated. The decision making process may get slow. And hence, purely for administrative efficiency and effectiveness, the central board directs the local boards, and the local boards, up to the powers delegated to them, can take actions, decisions to benefit their regions. The four local boards are based in Mumbai, Kolkata, Chennai and New Delhi. Each board is headed by a director, and these directors are a part of the central board. These local boards consist of 5 members who are appointed by the central government, again for a term of 4 years. If we have to generalize or summarize the functions of these local boards, we can say the main function of these local boards is to advise the central board on local matters and to represent territorial and economic interests of local cooperative and indigenous banks. One of the functions of these local boards is to perform all such other functions which the central board wants them to perform from time to time. So, over and above the primary function to advise the central board on local matters and to represent the territorial and economic interests of local cooperative and indigenous banks, these local boards are also supposed to perform all such other functions as delegated by the central board from time to time. Now, this is a structure at a top level or a top to bottom, but this is a segregation based on the functions. To have efficiency and effectiveness in the functions, there are various departments established by Reserve Bank of India. To carry out its functions, operations smoothly and efficiently, Reserve Bank of India has more than 20 departments. For example, Department of Currency Management looks after the issuance of currency notes. It is further subdivided into issuance department and banking department. The issuance department takes care about printing of notes at the recognized press of governments, security press, while the banking department takes hold of these printed notes, stores it at currency chest, and then the distribution happens to the commercial banks. The department of banking for rendering the banking services as a banker to the government, because government also requires certain deposits to be made, certain loans to be taken. Government doesn't do all these things on their own, so this particular department of RBI takes care of providing services as a banker to the government as well as to the banks. Here we talk about commercial banks, the scheduled commercial banks. The issue department, as I had said before, is concerned with proper and efficient management of note issue. The Department of Expenditure and Budgetary Control keeps a tab on various expenses and ensures that whatever expenses that are projected doesn't go out of the budgets. Then we have a very important department, which is the Exchange Control Department, which has to operate on the basis of FEMA, Foreign Exchange Management Act. takes care of whatever inward remittances of foreign currency or any outward remittances of foreign currency. It provides guidelines of taking deposits in foreign currency, of providing loans in foreign currency. So most of the foreign exchange control part is done by the exchange control department. Then we have Department of Banking Operations and Development. Any banking activity has to be done with banking operations. Simple example is how to open an account. What documents need to be taken for opening an account? Every bank cannot have its own rules and regulations. It is monitored and controlled by a central bank. This is just a small example regarding opening an account. So all and every function relating with banking for which operations needs to be performed, either on behalf of the customer or on behalf of the bank, the guidelines, directions, best practices are provided by Department of Banking Operations and Development. Then we have the Agricultural Credit Department for building up of sound cooperative credit structure in the rural financing. Because we have seen rural areas, unbanked areas may not have the same banking exposure as we have in cities or metros. More finance is required for agricultural purpose, and hence this Agricultural Credit Department is specifically focused for building up a sound cooperative credit structure in the rural financing. Then we also have a department for rural planning and credit. This rural planning and credit specifically identifies the potential source where banking inputs can be provided in the rural areas. This specifically relates with the development plans of the government, so that RBI is very clear about giving directions to the commercial, scheduled commercial banks about the sourcing of funds to particular rural areas. As we have seen the importance of non-banking companies like NBFCs, there is a special department for directing and controlling of non-banking companies. We also have a credit planning cell for the formulation and monitoring of credit policies. The Department of Economic Analysis and Policy conducts economic research and reviews financial and banking conditions in the country. The Department of Statistical Analysis and Computer Services takes care about generation, collection, processing, and compilation of statistical data. The Legal Department, a very, very important department, guides not only Reserve Bank of India, but provides legal opinions to all its member scheduled commercial banks. To ensure that the entire banking system functions as per the RBI guidelines, as per the government guidelines, as per the regulations, that is the law of our land, RBI has an inspection department. Not a single bank is left out. Each and every bank goes through this microscopic lens of RBI inspection department. We have Department of Administration and Personnel, which takes care about recruiting, training, placements, promotions, transfers, discipline, appeals, service conditions, wage structures, etc., etc. When we saw the organization structure, right from the governors to the support staff, this particular department takes care of recruiting, training, placement, promotions, transfer, etc. of all the employees of Reserve Bank of India. In addition to the historic building at Mumbai, Reserve Bank of India's building, RBI has also constructed various buildings and bank offices, various training institutions, as well as staff quarters for its employees. So we have a separate department in the form of premises department, which takes care of all the construction of buildings for bank offices, training institutions, as well as staff quarters. We have another specialized department in the form of management services department. The basic function of this management service department is organizational analysis, systems research and development. So RBI actually makes use of the latest scientific methods, latest management techniques for making the better use of this tool called central banking. So friends, you must be getting an idea that RBI is not for the namesake a central bank, but it is equipped with various specialized departments which helps the central board to take proper and right decisions. Now the question arises, if anyone wants to get recruited by RBI, how does one approach? We have seen various competition institutions who take entrance test, interviews, GDs, but those are not allowed to take entrance test, GDs, because Reserve Bank of India has a separate Reserve Bank of India Service Board. This board separately conducts examinations, interviews for selection or promotion of staff. So anyone who wants to join Reserve Bank of India has to apply through this Reserve Bank of India Service Board, has to appear for exams, interviews, selections, and even for promotion after appointment. RBI has a unique way of grooming its own employees as well as member banks as well as its member bank employees, and for that it has established specialized training establishments in Mumbai, Pune and various other places. Best of the training is provided with a specific intention of equipping the staff with the policies, procedures and techniques that needs to be used for financial inclusion as well as the general growth of the economy. RBI also has a separate department called Central Records and Documentation Center, which takes care of scientific preservation of records, retrieval services as and when they required. And when we talk about a central board, the most important department for the effective functioning of a central board is the secretarial department. So RBI also has a secretarial department to do the secretarial work connected with the meetings of the central board. When we talk about the boards, there is one important board for financial supervision. The Reserve Bank of India performs its functions under the guidance of Board for Financial Supervision. That is, any supervision activity is performed by Reserve Bank of India after taking guidance from the Board for Financial Supervision. This board was constituted in November 1994 as a committee of Central Board of Directors of the Reserve Bank of India. So RBI typically appoints some committee, appoints the members, the specialized members, and this specialized member works on the agenda given by RBI and gives them submissions or recommendations. The primary objective of the Board for Financial Supervision is to undertake consolidated supervision of the financial sector comprising of the commercial banks, financial institutions and non-banking finance companies. This department formulates and implements the supervisory policies and strategies to ensure development of a safe, sound and efficient banking system. In the previous slide, we saw it is Board for Financial Supervision to assist the Board for Financial Supervision. We have a Department of Banking Supervision. The Department of Banking Supervision formulates and implements the supervisory policies and strategies to ensure the development of a safe, sound and efficient banking system. The broad functions of the Department of Banking Supervision are on-site annual financial inspections and off-site monitoring and supervision. One of the functions also includes formulating the supervisory policies. Other functions include regulating the audit function, monitoring high-value fraud in financial institutions and NBFCs, secretarial services to the Board for Financial Supervision. This is a very powerful board, and if we have to understand some of the initiatives taken by the Board for Financial Supervision, we can include restructuring of the system of bank inspections, introduction of off-site surveillance, strengthening of the role of statutory auditors, and strengthening of the internal defenses of supervised institutions. Just like banking supervision, we have another department of non-banking supervision. What does this department do? It regulates and supervises the non-banking financial companies, popularly known as NBFCs. Broadly, the functions of the department are regulatory activities, developmental activities, activities with regard to securitization and reconstruction companies. So friends, these departments, which are more than 20, plays a very important role in bringing out the entire functions of Reserve Bank of India as a central bank. There are some other departments like the Rural Planning and Credit Department, which studies and coordinates issues relating to rural credit and development. Urban Banks Department, which regulates and supervises the banking activities of the primary urban cooperative banks. Because cooperative banks were not under the Reserve Bank of India since 1935, but it came under the RBI's purview somewhere in 1960s. The Department of Economic Analysis and Policy undertakes the policy supportive research on the macroeconomic issues of national and international importance. When we talk about RBI, when we talk about RBI's departments, we also should be aware about the acts administered by the Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India, being a central banking authority, has to take a note of various acts which has a direct or indirect control on the creation, maintenance or circulation of money in the Indian economy. The very first act it has to administer is the Reserve Bank of India 1934, the very basis on which RBI was established in 1935. When Reserve Bank of India plays a banker to the government, it should also administer the Public Debts Act 1944, the Government Securities Act 2006, the Government Securities Regulation 2007, and we saw the importance of Banking Regulation Act 1949, the act which gives more powers, gives more authority to RBI for monitoring and controlling the commercial banks. As we had said, Exchange Control Department has to take cognizance of the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. When it comes to liquidation of securities for the purpose of recovery, the latest and the most important, securitization and reconstruction of financial assets and enforcement of Securities Interest Act 2002, popularly known as the SARFAESI. We have the Credit Information Companies Regulation Act 2005 by which every borrower has to submit a credit rating report. So various credit information companies have been established, and RBI also has to administer this particular act. We have seen a wide range of modern electronic remittances and services. There has to be an act which will throw light on this payment and settlement system, and that act is the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007. So RBI also needs to administer this act. RBI also needs to take a note of some other relevant acts, like the Negotiable Instruments Act 1881, which specifically deals with a promissory note, bill of exchange and a check. The Bankers Book Evidence Act 1891, whenever the banking records are to be taken to court as an evidence. The State Bank of India Act 1955, which converted Imperial Bank of India into State Bank of India. The latest Companies Act 2013, which gives all rules and regulations for any company which is incorporated in India. Then we have the Securities Contract Regulation Act 1956, which throws light on the securities that are handled in the financial system. Just like State Bank of India Act 1955, we had a Subsidiaries of State Bank of India Act in 1959, State Bank of India Subsidiaries Banks Act 1959. Then the Banking Trust, which was established because of insurance provided for bank deposits through the Deposit Insurance and Credit Guarantee Corporation Act, popularly known as DICGC Act 1961. Then whenever any banking company is acquired or nationalized, we have this Banking Companies Acquisition and Transfer of Undertakings Act 1970. We have the Regional Rural Banks Act 1976. The second phase of nationalization in 1980, we had the Banking Companies Acquisition and Transfer of Undertakings Act 1980. Apex Body for Agriculture, we have the National Bank for Agriculture and Rural Development Act 1981. We have the National Housing Bank Act 1987. We have the Recovery of Debts Due to Banks and Financial Institutions Act 1993. We have to have Competition Act 2002 to control unfair trade practices, to control competition, and to have competition in a right manner, fair manner, transparent manner. The Indian Coinage Act 2011, which governs the currency and coins, and the Banking Secrecy Act. So friends, we don't have just a Reserve Bank of India Act or the Banking Regulation Act 1949, but we have various other acts in which RBI takes cognizance before directing or providing any banking regulations. Now, having understood what RBI is, what a central bank is, what is the constitution of Reserve Bank of India, what are the various departments of the Reserve Bank of India, now we are into a perfect state to understand what all is done by the Reserve Bank of India. What all is done by Reserve Bank of India can be called as the functions of Reserve Bank of India. The primary function of Reserve Bank of India is to regulate the monetary system of the country so as to promote the maintenance of the stability of the national monetary unit. When we tell stability, stability simply means internal stability and external stability. When we talk about internal stability, it specifically refers to the stability of the price. If the price is not controlled, it will be attacked by inflation, which is harmful for the economy in general. When we talk about external stability, it specifically refers to the stability of the rate of exchange. Because when we talk about the price control, it is more for the domestic transactions. In this period of liberalization and globalization, it becomes imperative to control the external stability by having a sound grip on the rate of exchange, that is the forex rate of exchange. So having understood this broad functions of Reserve Bank of India, if you want to further break down the functions of Reserve Bank of India, the whole functions of Reserve Bank of India can be categorized under three heads. And these three heads are monetary functions, non-monetary functions, and the miscellaneous functions. In addition to this, monetary, non-monetary, and the miscellaneous functions, RBI is armed with more powers to control the Indian money market. Every bank has to get a license from Reserve Bank of India to do banking business in India. The license can be cancelled by Reserve Bank of India if certain stipulated conditions are not fulfilled. Every bank has to get permission for opening a new branch. Reserve Bank of India can call for information as well as inspect the accounts of any commercial bank. RBI has a very important role to play in financial inclusion, that is provision of banking services to the weaker and the disadvantaged sections of our country at minimum or no cost. Post-liberalization and deregulation of the financial services within the country, it was observed that the banking industry has shown tremendous growth. However, banks had not been reaching and bringing the vast segments of the population, especially the underprivileged sections of the society, into the fold of banking services to the desired extent. And this particular observation prompted the need for the RBI to develop a specific focus towards financial inclusion for an inclusive growth. So RBI plays a very important role in financial inclusion also. RBI also plays a very important role in development and promotional functions, so that the banking system in the country is strengthened and expands seamlessly. The RBI's development and role, or the developmental role, includes ensuring credit to the productive sectors of the economy, creating institutions to build the financial infrastructure, and expanding the access to the affordable financial services. RBI also promotes the banking habit by extending banking facilities to rural and semi-urban areas, metros, urbans, and any sector of our economy. It is also taking special care to establish and promote new specialized financing agencies, and that's where we have witnessed the latest grant of 21 licenses to the payment banks as well as the small banks, which will take birth very soon. The outcome of RBI's development and promotional role can be said as priority sector lending, a special focus on the priority sector, the lead bank scheme having special focus on a particular area or district, the Kisan credit cards, the most successful card model for the rural people, micro, small and medium enterprise development, specifically for the small and medium industries, setting up of IFCs and state finance corporations so that the state government also participates in the financial rationing, setting up of deposit insurance corporations, which has provided a great sort of confidence for the depositors to come into the main banking stream rather than coming into the claws of the money lenders. Then we have Agricultural Finance Corporation, Agricultural Finance Corporation, the Credit Guarantee Corporation, the NABARD, the IDBI, the Exim Bank, the SIDBI, the National Housing Bank, the IDRBD, the latest National Payments Corporation of India, specifically for electronic remittances, and the list goes on and on, there cannot be a static list of such kind of development and promotional activities by the apex body, by the central bank of our country. And all these activities are meant for protection of the interest of the customers. And for this, RBI has a special department called the Customer Service Department, which focuses exclusively on the protection of customer rights, enhancing the quality of customer service, and strengthening the grievance redressal mechanisms in the bank. Customer can take any sort of grievance and get that grievance resolved if it is not resolved by the bank employees. The customer service department also initiates or takes initiatives in setting up customer redressal cell, creation of customer service department, and setting up of the banking codes and standard boards of India, an autonomous body for promoting adherences to self-imposed codes by the banks. These are beautiful codes covering both retail liabilities as well as assets. Even though these are codes, all or most of the banks have adopted it as their fair practices code and follow by it. In order to strengthen the institutional mechanism for dispute resolution, the Reserve Bank of India has also introduced the Banking Ombudsman Scheme, under which if a customer is not getting any response from the bank for 30 days after filing the complaint, he can straight away approach to the banking ombudsman, who will direct the bank to take action in favor of the customer if the bank is not responding to genuine complaints of the customer. So friends, if we have to summarize Reserve Bank of India, we can say Reserve Bank of India is a supreme banking authority. It holds cash reserves of all the scheduled banks. It issues directives on how banks may function. It approves the choice of chairman, managing directors, directors, and other positions. It has the power to examine and sanction schemes of arrangement and amalgamation. It has the power to recommend liquidation of weak banks or prohibit caution banks from entering into any particular transaction. It can ask banks to send returns and to report on banking matters or other information. What are the current challenges before Reserve Bank of India? To defend the rupee and control inflation, both can have a big dent into our economy. To draw more non-resident Indians and dollars into the formal financial system, which will not only create reserves but control the exchange rate. Increase the forex reserve, reduce the current account deficit, reduction of rising interest rates on loans, controlling the rising NPAs, which is becoming a bigger menace in the economy, issue differentiated bank licenses to provide private banks an opportunity to increase or help the banking industry to increase the banking penetration in the unbanked rural areas, and to ensure the best practices, the prudential norms that are provided by Basel III, and to ensure that these norms are complied by all scheduled commercial banks. What is RBI's role in the globalized economy? While India is emerging as a key player in the global growth story, RBI's roles and responsibilities too have increasingly acquired an international dimension. RBI is an active participant in several important international institutions that seek to promote more effective regulatory structures and financials and systemic or a sort of stability, systemic stability. Now friends, having considered a lot of information about Reserve Bank of India, we will specifically focus on the monetary, the non-monetary, as well as the miscellaneous function of RBI in greater detail. If we have to list out the monetary functions of RBI, we can say the monetary functions of RBI can be to have a bi-monthly monetary policy, sole right to issue notes except coins. Coins are issued by government. banker of the government, banker's bank and lender of last resort, credit controller by introducing policies relating to interest rates, SLR, CRR in order to control the quantity of money in the economy, and controller of foreign exchange operations. The non-monetary functions of RBI are basically supervisory functions, which are done by issuing of rules and regulations to control the commercial banks. In addition to supervisory functions, promotional functions are also considered as non-monetary functions. Promotional functions can include to promote rural areas, agricultural areas, small industries, to create employment opportunities by establishing financial institutions, conducting surveys, deposit insurance companies establishment, etc., etc. The miscellaneous functions are more in the form of research and statistics. RBI collects data related to Indian economy and publishes them via media so that useful information and measurement of various factors can be done very easily. RBI offering its own specialized institutions to youngsters who are enthusiastic in banking field. Many innovative fields of studies are introduced by RBI, especially the College of Agricultural Finance at Pune is one of them. What is the monetary policy? The monetary policy of Reserve Bank of India is basically written with the assistance of Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Department. The governor actually opens up this monetary policy bi-monthly. The primary goal of monetary policy is price stability while keeping in mind the objectives of growth and financial stability. The framework aims at setting the policy rate based on inflation, growth, and other macroeconomic risk. RBI uses various instruments of monetary policy like the cash reserve ratio, which is net demand and time liabilities that banks must maintain as cash balance with the Reserve Bank. The statutory liquidity ratio, which is the net demand and time liabilities that banks must maintain in safe and liquid assets such as government securities, cash and gold. The refinance facilities, that is sector-specific refinance facilities, aiming at achieving specific sector objectives through provision of liquidity at a cost linked to the policy repo rate. We also have the liquidity adjustment facility, popularly known as the LAF, which consists of overnight and term repo, reverse repo auctions for injecting increase in the proportion of liquidity. We have the marginal standing facility, popularly known as the MSF, a facility under which scheduled commercial banks can borrow additional amounts of overnight money from the Reserve Bank by dipping into their SLR portfolio up to a limit. The open market operations, popularly known as the OMOs, include both outright purchase and sale of government securities for injection or absorption of liquidity. Bank rate is an important tool in the hands of RBI. It specifies a rate at which Reserve Bank is ready to buy or rediscount the bills of exchange or other commercial papers. We have the Market Stabilization Scheme, popularly known as the MSS, in which the surplus liquidity of a more enduring nature arising from large capital inflows is absorbed through sale of short-dated government securities and treasury bills. Another important function of RBI is the issue of currency. Along with Government of India, RBI is responsible for the design, production and overall management of the nation's currency, with the goal of ensuring an adequate supply of clean and genuine notes. The Government of India is the issuing authority of coins and supplies coins to the Reserve Bank on demand. The Reserve Bank puts the coins into circulation on behalf of the Central Bank. To help this issuance function, the Departments of Currency Management at Central Office is doing a major function. The Department of Currency Management at Central Office Mumbai, in cooperation with the Issue Department of the Reserve Bank's regional offices across India, oversees the currency management. The function includes supplying and distributing adequate quantity of currency throughout the country and ensuring the quality of banknotes in circulation by continuous supply of clean notes and timely withdrawal of soiled notes. This is achieved through a wide network of more than 4,000 currency chests of commercial banks. Currency chests are extended arms of Reserve Bank Issue Department and are responsible for meeting the currency requirements of the respective regions.